Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting. Welcome to the teleconference for Burger King Brazil and the discussion of the results in the first quarter of 2019. We have Mr. Yuri Miranda, Head of BK Brazil, Clayton Malheiros, Financial Director, and Marcelo Sintra, Customer Relations or Investment Relations. This is being recorded, and all participants are going to be hearing teleconference during the presentation for BK Brazil. Later, we're going to start the Q&A session. In case any of you need any kind of support during the teleconference, please make sure you request support by typing asterisk zero. This event is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet via webcast and can be accessed through www.burgerking.com.br/re, where we have the respective presentation available to you. Selection of slides will be controlled by the presenters. The replay of the event will be available right after the session is over. We'd like to say that this is being translated simultaneously into English in order to meet requirements for foreign investors. Before we move forward, we would like to clarify that any kind of statements that may be made during the course of this teleconference towards BK's business reports, financial and operational goals are an assumption of the company itself, and it contains information available for BK Brazil. Future considerations are not a guarantee of performance since risks are involved, and this is basically about future investments, and it depends on circumstances that may or may not happen. Investors and analysts must understand that general conditions in the sector and other operational factors may have an impact in future results for BK Brazil, leading to results which substantially differ from the future considerations that may be presented today. I'd like to call upon Yuri Miranda to start his presentation. Yuri, you can move forward.
Thank you very much, operator, for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for your interest in our company and for the participation in our company's teleconference for the first quarter results in 2019. Before we move forward with the presentation, I'd like to tell you that even though the economic scenario is still challenging in the first quarter, we are extremely confident in the expansion strategy and in the positioning of our brands. And as you'll be able to see throughout the course of our presentations, we are excited about the growth pace, the gain in market share, and the improvement of results for the company. Now we're going to move over to slide number three, and we're going to cover the main highlights here. In the first quarter of 2019, we have opened five new restaurants for Burger King and three new Popeyes restaurants. And we have closed six Burger King units, four owned restaurants, and two franchisees. With that, we have maintained our growth in new units for our brand, increasing the number of restaurants by 94 in the last 2 months, in the last 12 months, in fact. When it comes to financials and trends in that area, we have a solid evolution of results, even though we're facing a challenging scenario. In the first quarter, we've had a strong net operating revenue of 37.9%, achieving R$665 million. And that reflects an excellent performance for the restaurants opened in the last 12 months, particularly the ones in the freestanding format. Allied to the same-store sales results of 5.9%, which is above the nominal GDP and the industry standard. The Brazilian Institute for Food has indicated that the segment has grown 6.7% in the period. So we have an adjusted EBITDA for R$86 million, excluding the results of the new accounting requirement, IFRS 16. So we have an adjusted EBITDA of R$52 million, representing a growth of 42.5% 2.4% in comparison to the same quarter in 2018. That has led to the growth of 30 bits in the EBITDA, in the adjusted EBITDA. We have R$3 million net profit in the first quarter, and if we exclude IFRS 16 results, our net profit would have been R$8 million. Now I'd like to call upon Clayton Malheiros to talk a little bit more about the performance of the company. Clayton?
Thank you, Yuri. Good afternoon, everyone. Moving to slide 4, as we said earlier, we can see that over the course of the first months of the year, we opened 5 Burger King restaurants and 3 Popeyes restaurants, and we closed 6 Burger King's restaurants, with a total of 803 restaurants operating in Brazil under Burger King and Popeyes brands, out of which 642 are operated by Burger King. We focus on freestanding restaurants, and even though we have a weaker quarter in the beginning of the year, we have 2 new restaurants in this format. On the left-hand side of the slide, we show that we are focused on this opening of the new restaurants, and we have 358 dessert points, which represents 92 new units open in the last 12 months. On slide 5, our growth in sales for these same restaurants has been 5.9%, aligned with our expectation of overcoming the operational GDP, even though the previous year was a strong comparison with 10.3% growth. That was basically the strongest growth in 2018. This is the result of continuous growth of the company and the marketing and launching of products in the premium and kids area, and the digital sales through delivery with Uber Eats partnerships and our mobile app, which has overcome 10 million downloads. With that, net operational revenue has increased by 37.9% in comparison to the first quarter in 2018. This result is comparable to opening new restaurants and consolidation of franchises restaurants opened in the first quarter of 2018. On slide 6, it's important to highlight that since the first quarter of 2019, we have been following IFRS 16. That's why in the next charts, we're going to show our numbers in two forms, with and without IFRS 16. This change has had an impact on contract for restaurants operated by BK Brazil. Rent has been recognized as amortization and financial expenditure, and the variable component it will be considered as expenses in general. So we're going to be covering these numbers in order to exclude IFRS 16 to improve understanding and comparison rates to the previous quarter, to the first quarter of 2018, in fact. Our total expenditure has reached R$626 million, and as a percentage of the liquid network, we have improved in 60 basis points. The cost of goods sold as a percentage of sold goods has increased in comparison to the previous year, achieving 38.3%, even though we have a challenging scenario in this period. Sales with expenses in restaurants, excluding amortization, have represented 60% of the net revenue, in fact, excluding third-party services and maintenance of the restaurants. Continuous focus in expense controls, operational leverage, and synergies of acquiring franchise restaurants caused general expenditures and corporate expenditures, with the net expenditure reached 4.2% in the first quarter of 2019. On slide 7, we show a solid growth of our adjusted EBITDA, which increased 42.4% in a total of R$52 million in the first quarter of 2019. Given the increase in the operational net revenue and control of expenditures, our adjusted EBITDA has expanded 30 basis points, achieving 7.8% in the first quarter of 2019.
In the same slide, we can see that our net profit has been 8 million reais in the first quarter of 2019, with an impact of non-recurring events of 4 million reais, recurring for depreciation and amortization by acquiring franchise restaurants, but benefiting from non-recurring income tax in the active period, and that's about 7 million reais. On slide 8, we can see CapEx and operational cash flow. CapEx has been 78 million reais, representing an increase of 72.7 in comparison to the first quarter of 2018. That includes the new restaurants opened in 2019, the restaurants that are going to be built in this year, and the investments required in that area. We have closed the quarter with a liquid or a net cash flow of 58 million reais. This is because we have used part of these resources to buy franchise restaurants in 2018, and we have reduced our debts in the pipeline for reduction of currently existing debts. In total, we have totalized cash flow of 58.2 million reais. In comparison to 2018, this has been an increase that has brought a lot of working capital to the company. Of course, in the first quarter, we take a huge hit because of the conditions in the country. And now we're going to move over to Yuri. Thank you, Clayton. Well, to wrap this up, and before we open the floor to questions and answers, I'd like to update you on some topics that, in our point of view, will continue supporting the improvement in our profitability, our expansion strategy, and the strengthening of our brands. I'd like to start by Popeyes. After only 6 months in operation, we have 11 restaurants open already, and we maintain our growth and strategy for shopping malls in the metropolitan area of São Paulo. We have been able to measure a continuous growth of the brand and positive assessment for quality and service in our restaurants. It is based on these initial results that we reinstate our expansion plan for 2019, and we want to double the number of new restaurants open in comparison to the previous years. It's important to remind you all that Popeye's growth is additional to the growth of Burger King. When it comes to the expansion of Burger King, the excellent performance of freestanding restaurants open in more recently shows the potential for growth we have in São Paulo. In signed contracts and sites in construction, the pipeline for owned restaurants is present for the opening of new restaurants in this format in 2019. We are focusing on the capture of new sales channels and the digital transformation the market is going through, always focusing on generating new customer traffic, more engagement by current customers, and opportunities for increasing profitability with these new channels. We have evolved in our digital platforms such as delivery and mobile order and pay app. Delivery is present in over 120 restaurants with good incremental results for sales and one of the best levels of assessment of results in the market. Given the results of Burger King delivery in Brazil, on top of the excellent delivery results for Popeyes in other markets, we plan on starting a new delivery service for Popeye restaurants as well. We have done the rollout of the mobile order and pay app to all our Burger King restaurant chains, and we have carried out the first activation campaign in the app, which caused us to overcome 10 million downloads, as Clayton said. Still in the digital ecosystem, we are moving forward in the development of our CRM project with the support of a partner with large global experience in this kind of a project. We're confident that CRM is going to lead us to new forms of understanding consumption habits and interaction with our customers. With that, we wrap the session up, and we would like to open the floor for Q&A. Please, operator, can we move over to the questions?
Thank you very much. We are now going to start the Q&A session. In order to ask a question, please type *1. And to remove the question from the pipeline, just type *2. Our first question comes from Robert Ford from Bank of America. Thank you and good morning. Clayton, I was quite surprised with expenditure, particularly because there should be a lower work contingency level here, but it doubled, in fact. Why is that? Oh, thank you very much for the question. I think this kind of contingency keeps hand in hand with the growth of the company, given the amount of staff members we have right now. Even though we have been reducing turnover, unfortunately, we still have some new lawsuits that come in that generate an impact in our results. So in a growth scenario as the one we have exposed to you, gentlemen, where we bring in a new amount, a large amount of new staff members, particularly because of the new restaurants, it is to be expected that this number rises. And this fluctuation in between these periods has a little bit to do with seasonability of the process, so to speak. So we have seen this happen in the beginning of the year, and this year is a bit higher than previous years. We have to remind you, though, that in the previous year, since we had the new labor reform that kicked in at the late 2017, we have a change in numbers in comparison to the previous years, and these workers started opening lawsuits earlier before they knew what the process was going to look like after the new labor reform. And now this tends to level off because we don't have the impact of any changes throughout the process. This is our reading in this process, but outside of that, we haven't seen anything that is more specific that can explain this kind of a change. Bob and Yuri, I'd like to add a few comments to Clayton's answer. I believe that when we look ahead and when we think about the changes we've had in the labor reform, we have an expectation that we are to have a reduction on the value per lawsuit. We start seeing a reduction in that area. Even though we're growing a lot and have more staff members, when you think about absolute numbers, you have an increase. But in individual value of these lawsuits, we see a reduction of lawsuits values. And another thing that we think this labor reform is going to bring about in the future, Bob, is the fact that new lawsuits that are being filed are not at the same level of complaints we had in the past, particularly because of these changes. And if you add something that is not part of reality, you lose the lawsuit and you have to pay costs that didn't exist in the past. So we believe that in the mid to long term, this is going to cause lawsuits to be reduced more and more when it comes to single value or individual value per lawsuit. Thank you, Yuri. When it comes to delivery, there has been an increase in the first quarter. And how many stores are offering delivery now? Well, we have over 120 stores offering delivery right now. Since this is a new offering, we have started fast-tracking this in the first quarter of last year. So we don't have the amount of months that is enough for us to do an assessment of sales in this 13-month period. But what we have seen is that delivery is basically incremental in offer, and this brings in an interesting share, even though we have to pay a fee for the incorporator. So what I'm saying is that we started delivery in the first quarter of 2018, so we still don't have enough time for us to be able to assess sales for delivery in this period, which is a minimum of 13 months. What I can tell you is that delivery has been quite incremental. Absolute
majority of sales and delivery are incremental with an interesting margin, even though we can consider the marketplace cost in this process. Another question was how many restaurants we have with delivery services. Nowadays, we have approximately 120 restaurants offering delivery. Yuri, let's talk about the current operational environment. The savings has been a bit slower than many people expected, but this has been quite solid for the same restaurants. How do you perceive this in the first quarter, excluding the comparison with the period of the truck driver's strike last year? What is your perception for these same stores and margins for the rest of the year? Good question, Bob. As you said, even though the economy has been quite challenging in the first quarter, what I can tell you is that we have been expecting a certain kind of a fast tracking of the economy. And even though that acceleration is not there, we can deliver a 6.9% margin, which is a solid result, which goes hand in hand with delivering a nominal GDP growth. On top of that, even though in a scenario where we have a hard time transferring prices, we can increase 10 bps in our margin. When we look forward, and I think what you're saying is really interesting, we do expect a very solid second quarter and superior when it comes to same-store sales. And of course, this is a period that is compared to the period of the truck driver strike last year. But regardless, yes, we expect to continue delivering sales at a very solid pace at same-store sales. And we consider this a continuous margin growth throughout the rest of the year. This is the scenario we expect ahead of us because of the innovations that we have in place and the strategies of the digital ecosystem that has generated new sales channels with interesting margins and the growth of the brand, which comes about with latest vintage in the standard restaurants that has been delivered a very interesting result for us, showing a huge potential for growth in the market. That's encouraging. Thank you. Thank you, Bob, for the question. Next question by Luis Felipe Guanay, BTG Pactual. Good morning, Clayton. Good morning, Yuri. I do have two questions, in fact. The first one, getting back to competitive environment. If you could talk about the macro environment and what the competition is like in the sector over the course of the last years. And when it comes to costs, what is the space in this competitive area that you think you could use to pass on costs when it comes to this next quarters? Another question is if you could talk about productivity of new restaurants open recently. Thank you, Luis. With regards to environment, we have seen in the first quarter a market that is more competitive. I even talked about that in the the quarter of the previous year, the last quarter. But we haven't seen this change ever since. And we have seen a certain stability in this competitive scenario, which seems to be rational. We see nothing irrational in this market. There may have been a reaction of the industry to an economy which is a bit more challenging than expected for this early quarter. So this is a normal reaction in the industry. When we look ahead, all of the economic projections indicate that after the second half of the year, the economy is going to pick up. And with that, we believe that this is going to be a normal reaction of the industry to be able to capture this kind of an opportunity for growth in the market. With that, there will be room for pass on costs with more of a growth, an economic growth. As far as productivity of the vintage list We can say that these lists are coming above our forecast. And this brings in a dilution of fixed costs. You know that most of our costs are fixed. And if we come in at a productivity level or a sales at a value that is higher than expected, this kind of dilutes fixed costs and this helps profitability of the company as a whole. The new restaurants for us are a combination of an operational evolution and the mature process on how to operate stores on the streets and drive-thrus. And this is different from shopping mall store operations. So there has been a maturity process, which is natural. And we also grown more mature on planning where to position these restaurants on street stores. So our location strategy has matured quite a lot since you start increasing your comparison base for your location score for restaurants like that. A third component which helps us quite a lot is that ever since the brand gains this kind of projection for preference and for brand recognition, street stores are basically more of a destination for customers, and this favors the growth of this market. If the economy is challenging on the one hand, on the other hand, this is an opportunity because costs for occupation in street stores are more attractive than a period when the economy in the past was more positive and we had a better occupation. We have been able to negotiate occupation costs that are quite interesting given the size of the brand and everything we have built, and this helps productivity in restaurants too. Thank you very much, Yuri. Thank you, Luis. Now we have a question by Pedro Fagundes, Bradesco BBI. I wanted to ask you, gentlemen, if Pedro, I'm sorry, but we cannot hear your question. Can you get closer to the microphone, please? Is it better now? Oh, much better. Very good. I do have only one question. I wanted to check with you whether you have started noticing in the beginning of the second quarter or if you expect for the rest of the year any kind of an impact when it comes to the swine flu or any kind of costs related to changes in the supply and demand when it comes to proteins. Fantastic question, Pedro. We are monitoring quite closely this issue, and we haven't been able to notice any kind of pressure by our vendors and suppliers, and so far we haven't had any kind of an impact. I believe Clayton may have mentioned that to you, but our proteins represent basically a third of the total cost of goods sold. Beef is the most relevant cost, and it represents something such as 24%. Chicken comes in at 4%, and swine only 3%. We haven't got any whole approach or any whole impact when it comes to this pork situation, and it hasn't got to do much with that commodity. There are other indicators for price changes in the market. We perceive that this reduces the potential of a significant variation that is linked exclusively to commodities. This is one thing. Another thing is that if we have any kind of an impact which you haven't felt so far, this is an impact that is going to be felt by the whole of the industry, not just to our operations. What we perceive is that if we have a movement like that for the whole of the industry, there will be a natural trend for prices to accommodate, and the industry or the sector would not be able to accommodate that as a whole. I see. Thank you very much. No, thank you. I would like to remind you that if you want to ask a question, all you have to do is type asterisk 1.
As such, we bring the Q&A session to an end, and I'd like to call Yuri to do his final remarks. Thank you, operator. I'd like to thank you all for being here, for dedicating your time. There are several companies socializing their results, and you have a lot of companies to listen to. So thank you very much for listening to us, and I'd like to wish all of you a fantastic week. BK's teleconference is now over. We would like to thank you all. Have a great day, and thank you for using Chorus Call.